miss some weeks in summer because of camp trips that we have to take and other things, so it's lovely to be back and be with our family at Riverside Covenant Church. For those of you who are joining us online, welcome this morning. We still do online, right? Or am I just thinking? Don't want to misspeak. I do that plenty. Some of you may know, if you know me at all, that I am a writer and a reader and a former English teacher, and I love books, which means I also love language. I actually especially love dead languages. I know that's not a big club, but I do love dead languages. I love words. I love the rhythm of words. I love metaphors. Metaphors are really interesting things. We say that one thing is like something else in order to better explain what the one thing is, even if it's not exactly like the something else very much. But it's kind of magical the way it works. So I could say music is medicine, which means music makes me feel better. It heals me. It helps me feel whole and strong. But I could also say music is medicine, which might mean it tastes bad and it disagrees with me and I don't like the process of taking it. So I can use the same word and have a completely different metaphor. So metaphors have limits. They reveal truth up to a point, and they do it beautifully, but we have to be really careful about making metaphors too concrete and carrying them too far. For example, Scripture tells us that God is a mother hen that watches over her chicks, protects them. Well, God isn't like a mother hen in too many ways, but in that one way, he is. Scripture also tells us that God is the Lion of Judah. We sang about it this morning. He is like a lion in some ways, but certainly not in every way. And in the psalm we'll read today, we read that God is a shepherd. And he is a shepherd in some ways, but not in every way. This morning, we're going to look at Psalm 23, which is a psalm of trust. It is a beautiful psalm. It's a familiar psalm. It speaks about God's goodness. His goodness is following me, is watching over me every day of my life, as we just sang. It talks about his faithfulness, his steadfastness, his trustworthiness. That's why it's a psalm of trust. It's probably one of the most beloved psalms. I think when I was growing up in church, we had to memorize Psalm 100. I don't know why, but Psalm 23 is the psalm that probably people who even don't follow the Lord or love the Lord sort of know that it's about God being a shepherd. They might even have it memorized. They might have it needle-pointed and hanging on their wall or stenciled on their wall. That's what we do today. It is familiar, and sometimes things that are familiar, we lose the power of them. Like if you live by the ocean, sometimes it's not a big deal to go to the ocean at all. If you live in the mountains, sometimes you miss the majesty of the mountains. Sometimes when you know Psalm 23 real well, you miss the beauty of it. So we're going to look at it this morning. I thought we'd read it out of the King James Version together. Oh, I have the slides. I forgot. Here we go. Which is probably the way that we have learned it or recognize it, even though none of us speak this way. But why don't we stand this morning together and read this together before we talk anymore? Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of the Lord. Amen. You can have a seat. Lord, be with us this morning as we look at Psalm 23 at your word, at one of the most beloved and familiar metaphors of Scripture. May we see you anew. May we leave encouraged. May we trust you more than we do now. In Jesus' name, amen. God being a shepherd is not just a Psalm 23 thing. It's actually all throughout Scripture. It is mentioned in, to name a few, Genesis, Numbers, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Psalms, obviously, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. If you've never read Ezekiel 34, go home today and read Ezekiel 34. It's kind of Psalm 23 on steroids. It's got so much in there about it. In Amos, Zechariah, Matthew, Mark, John, Acts, Hebrews, 1 Peter, and Revelation. Look at that, the first book of the Bible and the last book of the Bible. And there are many shepherds in Scripture. Most of them are mentioned in the Old Testament. Abel was a shepherd. Abraham was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd, and his wife Zipporah was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. His wife Rachel, Scripture says, was a shepherd. All of Jacob's sons were shepherds. And then Joseph got that new gig as the second-hand man to Pharaoh. But before that, he was a shepherd. David, the author of the psalm that we're going to look at this morning, was a shepherd. Amos was an amazing prophet who spoke about justice and mercy. And he said to the Lord, "I can't be a prophet for you. I'm just a shepherd." And I would want to say and respond, "But remember, the Lord is a shepherd as well." So this imagery of shepherds and sheep, but we're just going to talk about shepherds today, is all over Scripture. I don't know much, actually, about sheep or being a shepherd. I was born and lived in the country of Nebraska for a while as a young girl, but then amen, praise the Lord. Go Big Red. I know. It was a sad day when they joined the Big Ten because now my heart is rent in two. Anyway, I don't know much about being a shepherd or having sheep, so I went online to look at pictures. It's one of my favorite things to do, to see how the online world represents things that are in Scripture. This is what I learned looking at the images. First of all, shepherds are never hassled or harried or worried about what their sheep are doing. They're never stressed. They're never tired. They're never dirty, nor are the sheep. They also only work in places that look like Australia or Wyoming. Or maybe like Bavaria, nowhere that David had ever seen, even though this is illustrating David's view of the shepherd. I also learned that they are very bad at Photoshop. Even I, who only mostly know how to type text on a computer, could Photoshop better than this. And that it's always green, and it's always sunny, and there's never any troubles, and there's never any problems, and the sheep are always behaving, and they're always sitting right at your feet, and you could just build one if you want to. I know, right? You can make almost anything out of Legos. You need to come look at my brick Bible sometime, which is all of the stories of the Bible in Legos. It's amazing. So then I went to the county fair this week thinking maybe I could learn something about being a shepherd. I did not. I learned about what it is to be the best showman. These are the six best showmen at the county fair, the one who won pig showing, cattle, beef cattle, dairy cattle, meat goats. I don't think you call them beef goats. That's not what they are. Meat goats, dairy goats, and sheep. And this was them showing sheep. So there's only really one person in this picture who knows about showing sheep. They won the sheep contest, and the other five showman winners have to show sheep. And this is what I learned watching this. Sheep are stubborn. This one right here spent about 2 minutes in her arms and the rest of the time running laps around the pen. And she was so calm and collected and just walked after that sheep trying to regroup it and look like she was under control, which she was, but the sheep was not. So I did not learn a lot about what it meant to be a shepherd at the county fair. So then I went to look through old slides because my grandfather, where I was born in Nebraska and lived there for a while, did every year up until maybe I was in, I actually don't know how old, but they would feed about 2,000 sheep every fall. They'd get them in from Wyoming or Montana, feed them. So he really wasn't shepherding. He was just feeding. And all I knew about them, that's me on my favorite perch, sitting there watching what's going on, but I'm not doing any shepherding. And you couldn't let a four-year-old sit there like that again today, probably without getting in trouble. I don't have a helmet on. I don't have a seatbelt on. I don't have any shoes on. But I am enjoying the view from where I sit, and I really wouldn't have cared what I was looking at. I would have been happy there. But I learned nothing about what it meant to be a shepherd. So if you want to learn about what it means to be a shepherd, I would say Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, is the most beautiful book to read. It's lovely. And he does put it in the context of Psalm 123. We're not going to talk about this morning. I want to talk about Psalm 23 poetically, because Psalm 23, first and foremost, is a statement about who God is in poetic form. And the form is important. We learn things from the structure and the language. The psalm right before Psalm 23, Psalm 22, is a psalm of lament, and it has three different sections. And the third section is missing what every psalm of lament includes, which is a statement of trust. And so part of me wonders if Psalm 23 is placed where it is to be the statement of trust that Psalm 22 skips. That's completely conjecture, but I do wonder that. Psalm 23 basically reads like two verses, a two-verse song with kind of a bridge in between, but not exactly. The first verse says, "The Lord," or Yahweh, because of the way Lord is written there, "Yahweh is my shepherd. I do have what I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my life. He guides me along right paths." Four things. Let me read it to you out of the New Living. "He lets me rest in green meadows." I might have put it up there exactly the same way, which the Hebrew there actually means, I went back and fiddled with it a little, it means more precisely oasis of vegetation, which is a really beautiful phrase. Doesn't go well in a song, but I thought you might like to know that. "He leads me beside peaceful streams," or peaceful waters. "He renews my life," or my strength, "guides me along right paths." These are actual shepherd images. The metaphor is in play here. Sheep or shepherds feed their sheep, green meadows, they need grass. They water their sheep, they give them rest, and they lead them along right paths, because sheep just want to go where they want to go. So shepherds have to lead them along right paths. So these are all really basic, necessary things for a shepherd to do, but these are also our basic needs as human beings in terms of our soul. We need food. The word of God, God's presence. We need living water. We need rest for our souls. And we need to be guided along right paths, because we tend to want to choose our own paths. All of those things are part of the life of someone who is a follower of Jesus, who has surrendered and given their life to him. They all have a purpose. And you might go, yes, these are like the basic needs for survival. This is life's basic ingredients. But Psalm 23 tells us that all of these things are there for the sake of God's name, to lift his name up high. Now, sometimes the way we talk about God is, did you hear about the amazing thing that happened over in this ministry where this huge event happened and all of these people came to follow the Lord and clearly God's name was lifted high? Absolutely it was. But I think mostly what Psalm 23 tells us is that it's in the everyday, basic things in our life that God's name is lifted high. He is faithful, he is good, he is trustworthy. He doesn't need to do big, flashy, famous online viral things to be considered amazing and trustworthy. It's a God thing is a phrase that I often heard used, and it's usually used about big things. But my goodness, every day when we wake up and breathe fresh air, and I step into my shower and I can wash myself off, and I don't go hungry, that is a God thing. It is an amazing blessing from the Lord. Throwing a big party for your child might be impressive and amazing in that moment, but I think loving, leading, and caring for your child day in and day out is where the real work and the real faithfulness and trustworthiness shows up. Going on a service trip for a week is impressive and amazing and accomplishes amazing things, but I think humbly serving your friends and family and neighbors, the people who aren't very exciting, who you see every day, who there's no big wow or thank you from, that is where faithfulness and trustworthiness really profoundly shows up. Verse 2 then gives us a different context. Verse 1, the context is, "The Lord is my shepherd." We're talking about who he is and that I have everything I need. Verse 2 is about more things that God gives us, but the context is different. even when we are in the valley of darkness. And that could be translated all kinds of ways. It could be the valley of weeping, the valley of suffering, the valley of sadness, the valley of wondering if I have forgotten how to hear God's voice clearly, and the worries about that. The valley of health issues that don't get resolved quickly. The valley of job concerns. There's all kinds of valleys that we face. Some are frightening, some are stressful, some are tearful. When we are there, these are the things that we learn about God. You are close beside me. Your rod and your staff comfort and protect me. You prepare a feast for me, and you anoint my head with oil. Really, this is just verse 1, restated a little deeper. And now the purpose is not just to bring honor to glory or glory to God's name, which it does, but to remind me that my cup overflows. In the valleys, we notice God's goodness more clearly. God feeding me is no longer just a green meadow. Now it's a banquet. He doesn't just renew my strength. Now I realize that he's actually anointing me with oil, with his Spirit's power. The still waters become an overflowing cup. The provision, the basic trustworthy provision of the Lord, seems ramped up and so much sweeter and better when we are in places that feel dark and scary and fearful and tearful and distressing. On Monday, I was at my aunt's memorial service. My aunt lived a long life, 85 years, and accomplished so many things, and raised an amazing family, and loved